From WYPR, I'm Sheila Kast. We're on the record. Food insecurity, the lack of access to decent nutrition, is a big challenge. We talk with Laura Flam from Baltimore City's Health Department about Baltimarket, a set of initiatives to help seniors make healthy choices when they shop and eat. And we meet Glenn Smith, a senior citizen who volunteers to help his neighbors in the program. We also speak with Linny Kahn, whose Baltimore Hunger Project makes sure school children get meals for the weekend. She's dedicated to fighting unseen hunger in our classrooms.
I think one of the most important pieces about food insecurity is that it's invisible. That when you are a child and you're sitting next to your seatmate, you don't know whether they ate over the weekend or they didn't. There's no way to tell.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Kast. We're On the Record. Food insecurity, the inability to provide or have access to adequate nutritional meals, has been a decades-long challenge in Maryland. And in fact, one in nine people in the state report being food insecure, according to the Maryland Food Bank. There are state and city programs that provide varying levels of assistance, and later in this half hour, we'll talk with representatives from one of those organizations, which focuses on healthy and accessible food for seniors. But some people feel the need to take matters into their own hands. Linny Kahn founded the Baltimore Hunger Project, a nonprofit dedicated to making sure school kids have enough to eat, and she serves as its executive director. She's here in the studio to tell us about it. Welcome to On the Record, Linny.
Thank you.
What is Baltimore Hunger Project?
So Baltimore Hunger Project is a nonprofit organization that seeks to eliminate the growing problem of weekend childhood hunger.
Weekend childhood hunger.
Yes. So we bridge the gap from Friday afternoons to Monday mornings. The kids that we support in Baltimore City and Baltimore County schools receive free breakfast and lunch Monday through Friday. And through no fault of their own, oftentimes those kids go home on Friday afternoons and don't have a good meal or enough food until Monday morning when they return to school.
How did you focus on this problem? What brought it to your attention?
So about 8 years ago, I started something with some friends called Linny's Garage. And we meet in my garage once a month and we make lunches for two women and children's homeless shelters. And I would take the lunches down to the shelters and the little kids would come running out and they would say, "Are you the lunch lady?" And I would say, "Today I am, and here are the lunches that we're providing you." And each month I would see the same women over and over, and they would tell me how impactful it was and empowering for their children to go to school and bring a lunch of their own. So I got to thinking that this problem of hunger with kids is so large, and I can't solve the big problem, but I know how to organize people and I know how to feed kids. And that's where Baltimore Hunger Project came from. So it took me a couple years before I got my nerve up to start it, and we are proudly starting our third year this September.
Tell me how it works.
So we're 100% volunteer run. We have volunteers who purchase our food at the Maryland Food Bank, Wegmans, Sam's Club, and they bring it to our headquarters, which is located at 2305 North Charles Street. Right down the street.
We're neighbors.
We are neighbors. And we have different organizations and school kids who come in and help pack. We do about 500 food packs at each session. We then have volunteers from Itinerus, which is an organization that does job placement for young adults with autism. We have two young adults who come with their coaches every Monday, and they take our prepackaged food and they prepare it to be picked up by our school coordinators. The school coordinators then come pick up the food, take it to their schools, and distribute it to the children who are identified by the guidance counselors and the principals each Friday. And then we start all over again on Mondays.
Couple of things.
Yes.
I want to pick up on the very last thing, distribute it to the kids.
Yes.
How is that done?
So the kids are identified as those who are most at risk in the schools. It's determined by the guidance counselors who have a relationship with the children. And the food is prepared in a gallon-size Ziploc bag. And it is brought to the schools, and the guidance counselors slip it into the kids' backpacks.
Slip it into their backpacks.
Yes, we feel really strongly that the dignity of the kids is really important. We want to be respectful of the children. We don't want somebody to know that Joey is getting it, but Johnny is not.
So what kind of food?
It's all shelf-stable, kid-friendly, nutritious food. We put in chocolate milk, juice box, applesauce pouches, raisins. We do a box of cereal, and we do 4 cans of a protein, like Frank's and beans, beef stew, beef ravioli.
Shelf-stable means it doesn't have to be refrigerated?
Correct. We assume worst-case scenario with the children that we support, that perhaps they're in temporary residence, which could be living in a shelter, but it could also be couch surfing at their grandparents' house. We assume no refrigeration, possibly no microwave. And we also assume that sometimes the kids are by themselves on the weekend, so they don't have help to prepare the food. So, for example, the can of beef ravioli is a pull top, and the kids can just eat it right out of the cans.
What kind of reaction have you gotten to this?
We've gotten a lot of different reactions. We've gotten very positive feedback from the kids. We did an informal survey at the end of the school year last year, and the kids said that they loved the food, they wanted a little bit more variety, and they wanted more of it. So we redesigned our food for this year. We added 3 new items, hopefully to encourage the kids to continue eating what we're serving them. We've gotten great feedback from the teachers at the schools. They say that the kids are eager to receive it. I think we're in partnership with all the other programs that are out there. I've heard studies say that kids who don't eat over the weekends, it takes them until Wednesday for them to actually be able to focus and pay attention in the classroom.
That's Lynnie Kahn, founder and executive director of the Baltimore Hunger Project, here on The Record on WYPR. It's a nonprofit that makes sure kids have something to eat over the weekend. Let me ask you to go a little bit deeper. You've looked pretty intently into statistics about food insecure students.
Yes.
You just said something I hadn't heard, that it could take days to recover from a weekend of not enough food. What strikes you most about the statistics you know about? What do you think people need to understand?
I think one of the most important pieces about food insecurity is that it's invisible. That when you are a child and you're sitting next to your seatmate, you don't know whether they ate over the weekend or they didn't. There's no way to tell. And so for me as a mom, I know that it's so important that I send my kids out every morning with a healthy breakfast. And I can't imagine them having to pay attention in school, worrying about how hungry they are, or will we have dinner, or when will my next meal be? So I think it's important that we give these children a step up, a little bit of help, so that they can perform as well as other kids can.
How many schools do you provide?
We are currently providing food for 14 schools in Baltimore City and Baltimore County. We're going to support 325 kids.
How do schools get attached to Baltimore Hunger Project?
A lot of the schools that we work with come to us through word of mouth, and they reach out through our website or they contact me by phone. I also have a partnership with the Family League. And the Family League has about 50 schools in Baltimore City that are their community schools, and we partner with their community schools.
It's very specific, feeding school children on weekends. Give us an idea of who these kids are. Describe these kids to us.
As an organization, the children that we support are anonymous. They're identified by the guidance counselors and the principals as the kids who are most in need. So we send home a waiver for the parents to sign to acknowledge that the kids are participating in the program, but we as an organization don't know who they are.
Why are meals on weekends such a distinct issue in the whole picture of poverty and not enough to eat?
I think because so many organizations, including the school systems, focus on Monday through Friday. There are unbelievable programs that provide after-school meals for kids. There's meals during the summer for children to go to at community centers, libraries. But come the weekend, there are no options. So I think it's a forgotten piece. And that's why we tapped into it, because there's such a great need to feed kids over the weekends. And we're hoping to fill that gap.
Hoping to fill that gap. Obviously,
yes.
You're already filling some of it.
We are, but in Baltimore City alone, there are 72,000 children who would qualify for the free and reduced meals. And so with 325 kids, we're only scratching the tiniest bit.
So what is your vision for expanding?
So my vision is to be doing thousands of kids every week, to be in a warehouse and having volunteers coming in and out, packing the food and delivering it. I see myself in 5 years, maybe 5,000 kids a week.
How do you get from here to there?
Awareness. I think awareness of the problem. I think people don't know that this problem exists. I think people don't realize that there are schools in their neighborhood where there are children who are hungry on the weekends. There are parents who have enough money to pay their rent and pay for food, but all of a sudden their car breaks down and they have to use that money that they would have used for groceries to pay for their car repairs. And now there's nothing for the kids to eat. Or a family loses their job, but nobody talks about it. So I think it's awareness. I think with awareness comes financial contributions, and then that gives us the ability to expand to more kids.
How can people get involved?
They can go onto our website.
And we will link to your website.
Okay, great.
The On the Record page at WIPR.
They can get in touch with me and find out. Like I said, we're 100% volunteer run. And
how many volunteers?
Oh, gosh, we probably have over 200 volunteers at any given time.
Tell me again what volunteers do.
They can shop for our food. They can deliver the food to our schools. They can come and participate in a packing session. They can also host food drives. And those who volunteer with Baltimore Hunger Project get almost as much out of volunteering as those who we support, because they're given an opportunity to give back to other children. We have so many kids who come in and help, and the feedback I get from them is, I didn't know that helping others could be so fun, or I didn't realize I could make a difference for another child. I think that food and being hungry is something all kids can understand. Not so much that they're hungry in the way that the kids we feed are, but I ask them to visualize, what is it like when you go home? Can you imagine if you went home and you opened your cupboard and there was nothing in there? What would you do? Who would you go to? How could you find something to eat? And I think it's really impactful for the kids to come and help.
And does all the money for this, is this all volunteer raised also?
It is. I would say about 90% of the money that we raise goes towards the cost of feeding the children. So it costs $200 per child for the entire school year. It comes out to about $5 a food pack, which is equivalent to a large coffee at Starbucks, which I find amazing when you think about $5. I think it's a really tangible number that people can understand.
I'm grateful to you for telling us about it. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Lenny Kahn, a full-time accountant, is founder and executive director of the Baltimore Hunger Project. You can find out more about it at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. I'm Sheila Kest. Short break, and then we'll learn about a virtual grocery that caters to seniors and others who can't easily access healthy foods. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Kest. We're talking today about nutritious food programs for those in need. We just heard about a creative way to get food into the hands of kids over the weekend. What about older residents with difficulty accessing food? What about the 1/4 of seniors in the city of Baltimore who live in a food desert? 19,000 seniors in food deserts, areas where it's hard to find or purchase affordable, good quality, fresh food. A healthy food initiative called Baltimore Market can make a difference. Laura Flam, Director of Healthy Eating and Active Living for Baltimore City's Health Department, oversees Baltimore Market, and she's here to tell us about it. Welcome, Laura.
Hi.
And also joining us is Glenn Smith, a neighborhood food advocate at his senior residence in West Baltimore and a volunteer for a virtual supermarket program. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you, Sheila.
Laura, first help us understand, what are the specific barriers for seniors to shop for healthy food?
When you look around the city of Baltimore, there are a lot of people that have trouble finding healthy food. And when we think about our older adult residents, we think about even more barriers. So it's people that are going to be even more likely to have high blood pressure, diabetes, diseases where you need to be eating healthy foods, fruits and vegetables. And you also are looking at a population that may have more trouble with transportation. So maybe they don't have their own car. Maybe they have to use mobility where you can only carry a couple bags with you. So when we're looking at difficulties in accessing healthy food, it's certainly an issue for a large number of people. But seniors are going to be some of the hardest hit.
So it's both the need that many seniors have, the urgency for them to have healthy food, as well as the difficulty in getting themselves to a grocery where they might be able to find it.
Absolutely.
What does Baltimore Market encompass? There seem to be several outreach programs under that umbrella.
Baltimore Market is our health department's suite of community-based food access programs. So the first program that we launched was the virtual supermarket program. The basic idea was to take a resource we already had in Baltimore, which was groceries delivered that you ordered online, and make that accessible for low-income populations, particularly seniors.
So how does that work?
We partner with ShopRite, and we have our neighborhood food advocates, like Glenn, who actually take a handwritten order from one of their neighbors down the hall, and they'll put in that order online. ShopRite then shops for the groceries. It's delivered to that building. We're able, through grant funds, to cover the delivery costs, so they just pay for their groceries. And then the resident is able to check out. And ShopRite, as a part of the program, has said, sure, we'll take debit and credit, which we usually take, but we'll also take food stamps or cash. So that way, we're reducing a lot of the barriers that people in this building would have. If they're not familiar with shopping online or they don't have a computer, we have a neighborhood food advocate who does that. If they don't have the money to cover the delivery, we have grants that do that. And if they don't have debit or credit, we have a way for them to pay with food stamps or cash.
So food advocate, that's you, right, Glenn?
Yes.
Tell me what it means to be a food advocate.
Well, it enables people who with limited mobility to have access to fresh food, even bottled water. So when ShopRite delivers on a Tuesday, we deliver it to their apartment if they are really immobile, or they'll come down to the community room and pick up their groceries, and we'll help them transport it back to their apartment.
So you're like waiting for that order, that ShopRite.
Yes, we put the order in on Mondays.
And what's involved in getting these orders together?
Basically, just putting out the circular, the weekly circular, and the resident will go through the circular to see what they want to order and put it down on a sheet, and they turn it into us, and we put it into the computer.
So the residents get to use paper. You're the one who interfaces with a computer. Residents
right.
don't have to deal with
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
And then?
And then we put them in on Monday, and on Tuesday morning, they deliver. They've been a great partner.
ShopRite.
Yes, the quality of the food is good. If there's ever any question about whether or not the customer wants it, they can return it with no problem. And we haven't had any problems. So it's been a great partnership with ShopRite and Baltimore Market for the senior citizens in our building.
I'm Sheila Cass. This is On the Record. I'm speaking with Glenn Smith, a food advocate for seniors in West Baltimore, and with Laura Flam, Director of Healthy Eating and Active Living for Baltimore City Health Department. We're talking about Baltimore Market, a group of services aimed at improving the access senior citizens have to healthy food. So, Glenn, what impact is this program having in your building? What do you see around you?
Well, not only is it creating a bond between the residents, people you may now have never known their name, now you know their name and a little bit about them. When they come in to put their order in, you share recipes and things of that nature and have recommendations of what's good and what's healthy for them to eat. There's even a 10 times a year there's a discount that they'll get when they order their groceries. So it's not only convenient, it's economical. They'll give double on coupons. So it's a good way to save money and to have access to healthy food.
You talked about sort of creates bonds among residents. Do you have to, like, knock on doors to get people to participate at first, or do residents come
well,
to
actually,
you and say?
Well, actually, early on, we kind of promoted the program. We had a meeting, a couple of meetings with the building and let them know that the program was going to be available.
You've been doing this how long?
about a year and a half now. And people at first, they say, well, I like to see what I'm buying from the market. But because of the quality of the food from ShopRite, they've learned that they can order with confidence, that whatever comes, they have the option of receiving it or not. And like I said, because of the quality, we've haven't had any problems with quality.
How many food advocates are there in your building?
We have five. And one of them is like, she takes a lot of the orders from the residents that may have vision problems or just understanding going through a circular. So she actually sat down and collects those orders and brings them to the table on Monday. I would say almost half of the residents are participating in the program.
Laura Flint, I want to get back to other aspects of Baltimore Market, but since we've been talking about the virtual supermarket, let me get your overview. How is it working? How many places is it working in the city, and how is it working?
The virtual supermarket program is currently in 13 sites across the city, and over the last 2 years alone, we've served over 700 unique customers. And when we do surveys of customers, people are saying it makes it easier to eat healthy. They're saying they're buying more fruits and vegetables. And as Glenn touched on, they're saying that they're meeting their neighbors. It's building a sense of community. And all of these things are a vital part of health.
How is it paid for? I mean, I know the residents pay for their groceries, but sort of all the other aspects of it. How is that funded?
Our programming is supported in part by the City of Baltimore and then through a number of national and local foundations. So we're very, very thankful to each of our grant partners.
There are some other aspects to Baltimore Market. Tell us what we should know.
So in addition to the virtual supermarket program, we also have a healthy stores program. And with this, we work with those small mom and pop corner stores that you see all across the city and help them to introduce fruits and vegetables and healthier drinks and healthier snacks. We're able to actually employ young people as nutrition educators who then teach everybody in the community about those same fruits and vegetables and healthy drinks and healthy snacks. We also have our Neighborhood Food Advocates Initiative, which is woven into the virtual supermarket. It's woven into that Healthy Stores program. So everything we do is all about community-based. It's all about building power in these communities and really helping to use those resources we already have to creatively tackle food deserts.
Glenn Smith, what drew you to get involved in this program?
Well, when I moved into the Senior Citizen Building, I wanted to know what I could do to help the residents there. And the Baltimore Market program came. And because of my computer knowledge, I was a good candidate for it. And it's a way for me to give back to my community, knowing that we live in a food desert. I would like to see the program expanded. It's an avenue that really needs to be explored to see how we can really, absent of supermarkets, that we can get healthy food to people who otherwise couldn't have access to it.
So when you say expansion, are you talking about hoping to see it in more senior residences or more
libraries, wherever we can get the program into? Because the food desert is a really big problem, and it causes health problems. West Baltimore has the highest disparity in health in the state. That's partly because access to healthy food. People tend to go and eat chicken boxes from the corner store and things of that nature, and it's unhealthy food. So if the program was expanded, they would be able to get access to more healthy food and maybe the diabetes and other high blood pressures would go down, decline.
Laura Flam, is that in the works? Is that possible to talk about expanding this?
The virtual supermarket program has been lucky to expand a lot over the last couple years, and we are always looking for more sites. If you're interested, if you think that you have a site that could be good, you can contact us. We have all of our information, a great video showing all about the virtual supermarket program at www.baltimarket.org.
And we will link to that from the On the Record page at WYPR.org. I really appreciate you both telling us about it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Laura Flem is Director of Healthy Eating and Active Living for Baltimore City's Health Department. She oversees the healthy food initiative called Baltimarket. Glenn Smith lives in West Baltimore. He's a food advocate for fellow seniors and a participant in the Baltimarket program. Earlier, we spoke with Lenny Kahn about her nonprofit, the Baltimore Hunger Project, which provides weekend meals for grade school students in Baltimore City and County. We've got links to all those programs at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.